Hugh, can you give us an idea of what it's like there on the ground from your perspective?
Believe me, I've been doing this for 41 years, and this is probably the most challenging incident aviation-wise that I've been on, and it's a result of several factors. One is the sheer number of aircraft. When I got here the early morning of June 10th, they had approximately 6 aircraft on the fire, and it was my responsibility to order sufficient aircraft to meet the need, and we went from 6 to 34 aircraft in less than 36 hours. So my workload has been very high for about 9 days straight, and that's why this fire has been the most challenging I've ever encountered. I am ground-based at what's called the Incident Command Post for the Incident Management Team. I have two main positions that work for me. One is the Air Tactical Group Supervisor, who is commonly in a fixed-wing aircraft approximately 3,000 to 4,000 feet above ground level. And that individual is responsible for directing the fixed-wing air tankers and the helicopter drops that are being made on the fire. The other individual that I have is called an air support group supervisor, who is responsible for supporting the rotary wing, i.e. helicopter bases, of which we have two on this incident. The main base out here by the National Guard Armory currently has 17 helicopters lined up on an old airstrip. Now, an indicator of the complexity of the air operation on this is instead of one air tactical group supervisor, I have four, each with his or her own fixed-wing aircraft. And I have three air support group supervisors, all pursuing various lines of effort in support of the helicopter show.
Wow. The word is that they've grounded the air support because of high winds. What does that mean for you?
Well, let's back up to Saturday. Things were looking really good as far as having containment on parts of the fire that were critical, i.e. near subdivisions, etc. But we knew what the weather forecast was for yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And very extreme wind events are forecasted. Yesterday at 10 o'clock on the fire, it was blowing 50 miles an hour. So they were grounded for about, I'd say, approximately 5 hours. We were able to get an air tactical aircraft up there to see what had happened, and we immediately put five of our Type 1 sky cranes. Those are the ones that look like praying mantises and hold 2,000 gallons. Today, I really don't have a handle, but you've got the predictions for red flag warnings for extremely high winds. And the other kicker is extremely low single-digit relative humidities, both of which very, very much affect fire progression.
And so how is the fire management going? Are you making progress?
We always make progress. We suffer setbacks now and then is a good way to put it. It's a physical environment and it's a people environment that we have to deal with.
Are there any predictions thus far as to when this fire might be more contained or sort of calmed down?
I couldn't speak to that. That you would have to talk to our public information office. One thing I'd like to add for all our listeners out there is that I fought fires in Southern California. I fought fires in Alaska. I fought fires in Florida. The situation in Colorado this year is the most explosive in terms of potential that I have ever seen in 41 years. I encourage everybody to take a good hard look at their residences and go online and check out all the things our local fire chiefs have been saying about fireproofing the areas surrounding your home. The Wake Fire can happen again very easily this summer.
Thanks a lot, Hugh.
My pleasure.